All right, 99.5 KKLA FM Los Angeles, the intersection of faith and reason here at the Frank Pastore Show. Welcome aboard. And, yeah, it's somewhat related to what we were talking about a minute ago regarding jobs in the economy, but it's more from a Christian perspective, from more a spiritual perspective on how many men and women actually view their work as a ministry. I mean, so often people have this bifurcation, this split, right? That, man, I wish I could leave my full-time job and go into full-time ministry. And it's like, dude, no. What really needs to happen is for you to understand that your job is your work is your ministry. That God has you placed there to touch the men and women and to be a change agent for good right where you're at. And it may not be the maximum use of your gift mix. Great, then pursue that. But please don't have this idea, oh, if only I could leave what I do and go into full-time ministry. That is getting the whole issue completely wrong. I want you to meet Bill Heatley. Bill has been in corporate America for over 20 years now, typically in the IT departments of, you know, defense and oil and medicine and all the big stuff. But one of the things that Bill has done, especially in being son-in-law to Dallas Willard and Dallas's daughter Becky, his wife, is work in this area of the theology of work. In fact, they've set up a website, theologyofwork.org, on this whole area. Bill Heatley, welcome back to the Frank Pastore Show. Friend, how are you, man?
Hey, Frank. It's great to be on the show again. How are you?
Good, buddy. So am I right on this, that people typically have this secular sacred split, you know, and they think that work is for, you know, the world and gosh, if I could only do ministry. That's where to start, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you take a look at some famous people like William Wilberforce, right, the guy who handled the abolition of slavery in England. Came to Christ, wanted to go into ministry, and people said, no, the right place for you, in God's will, is to stay in politics. And he made that happen. He changed everything in the British Empire as it relates to slavery. But so many people, they're caught up in this idea that, well, now that I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, I've got to be in ministry. That's where the holiness is. That's where the blessing is. And that's just completely wrong. And then you've got other people that are in business going, it's totally lost. It's all about money, greed, power, domination. Satan's in charge at work. Best thing I can do is to just tithe off the money that I make and hope that I make enough that I can retire and then do good work.
Right.
It's completely upside down, Frank.
All right, so let's correct this. Let's stay on your Wilberforce example. So the men and women who told him, Will, listen, you need to stay and do what you're doing here. This is the area of maximum impact. They were the ones that gave him great counsel. What we need to do, all of us listening, is to give the same kind of good counsel to men and women who are asking the question, you know, where does God want me? You know, so Bill, if I ask you, and you, I know you've done this dozens, if not hundreds of times with guys and in men's groups especially, if I were to ask you, okay, I believe God is calling me to ministry. What kicks off immediately?
Well, the very first thing is, do you, Frank, have an adequate understanding of what work is about? Why did God create work in the first place?
The answer, I believe, typically would be, yeah, it's to earn a living.
Well, and that's not right.
It's not right. Right, so teach us, because so many people ask, you know, what if God's calling me to ministry? I believe God's calling me to ministry. And to be really blunt, not to offend people, but there have been so many times I have counseled young men who have come to me back, especially when I was teaching in Biola or down at Calvary Chapel in Murrieta, and they'd come to me and say, you know, I tried insurance, I tried law school, I tried waiting on tables, I tried selling cars, I tried working with Uncle Bob, nothing works, God must be calling me to ministry. And I'm thinking, like, dude, no, that is not at all how it works. They think it's like, if I don't have success anywhere else, it's got to be God's calling me to ministry. It's like, no, you'd probably fail there too.
Best story I got, a guy came up to me, and this is, you know, Ed. Ed talks to me, and he's incredibly upset. He feels like he's wasted 30 years of his life as an air traffic controller. figures I'm going to go into ministry and hopefully it'll make up for the lost 30 years. I asked him this one question. I said, Ed, how many prayers have you helped God answer in your 30-year career? He looked at me like I had two heads on my shoulders, right? Didn't understand it. So I said, well, let's do the math. Let's do the math. Is it 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, 30-year career? How many planes did you land in an hour? How many people are on those planes? How many important packages are in the belly of those planes? How many times did people pray? They pray when they took off, they prayed when they land, and they prayed any time there was turbulence. And so we did the math, and we included all the families that were praying for travel mercies. Guess how many prayers Ed participated in answering with God? 1.5 billion.
No, really?
1.5 billion. And what was he doing? Well, I got to tell you, first of all, he was incredibly upset when we started the conversation. Halfway through, he understood that his whole career, he'd been working with God to help answer prayers that God had received for travel mercy.
Wow.
Travel safety. Well, how many prayers are we answering when we are doing our job diligently and well? Prayers for food, for shelter, for clothing, for justice, for mercy, for healing, for any of the things that God has created. God has created work so that we stand in this world as his person and we help meet the needs of the world. That makes all the work that we do a holy calling. So people need to kind of step back and answer that primary question. Why did God create work? Great way for people in ministry to answer that is to answer the question, God created communion, right? Eucharist,
right.
Whatever terms you want to use.
Right.
The two elements of communion are what? Bread and wine. Why did God, in his sovereign will, in his intelligence, pick two things that require human manufacture? Why does God insist that our work must be part of what helps redeem and people into a knowledge of him?
I never thought of it that way.
Right? That is one of the most incredibly powerful ways that God tries to show us, I want you to be included in how I, God, of the world, meet all the needs, both spiritual and physical.
All right,
and
so Bill, hold on. I want to go back a second. No, wait. If I'm listening to the story about the air traffic controller guy, the Ed guy,
yeah.
I might be able to dismiss that and say, well, he's an air traffic controller. I'm a waiter or I'm a waitress. What I do is totally insignificant.
Oh my goodness.
Like, oh my God, okay, address that, because I've heard your father-in-law address that. It's like, no, do you understand how important what you do is, and if you viewed it as a ministry? So lay that out. What if you are a food service provider?
Well, let's set the stage. Frank, let's set the stage. You're with your wife. You've decided to have a very nice evening, and you go to a restaurant. Now picture the waiter that you've always dreamed about, the person who is there, who is present, who is waiting on you, so that when you have that event with your wife, you feel cared for. You feel like you've had an opportunity to experience something very special. And when you're a waiter, what is it that you are doing? You are serving. You are behaving as Christ behaved in small measure. You are meeting the prayerful needs for a beautiful evening with your wife, for food to sustain you, for food that you might enjoy. And everyone at the restaurant has really participated in that, from the guys who built the building to the men and women who weaved the carpet to the people who designed the chairs to the chef who cooked the food to the farmer who made it. They are answering your prayer, spoken or unspoken, for a nice, pleasant evening with your wife. They have allowed you to enjoy God's provision in love, that's the spiritual part, mm-hmm. and in the food. That's what gets served. And the waiter is acting as a servant
yes.
to you.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, most people have, I got to do a break here, Bill, but
sure.
Most people think, man, if I could only, you know, serve bowls of rice in Zimbabwe, that's really ministry, you know? It's like, do you understand you can do that working at Chick-fil-A or at Coco's or at Mimi or whatever you do? And so, Bill, one of the things I want to do, I got to take a break, but when we come back, is let's go through, quote, some of the typical, mundane, easy-to-dismiss kind of professions that people think, oh, it's not at all significant.
Yeah.
And sort of lay out, no, do you understand you may be fulfilling and answering the prayers of many people to do that? And it may shift. It may be a paradigm shift. It may be a whole perspective shift for these men and women who are doing these jobs. And, in fact, if you have a job that you want to bounce off Bill, like, okay, find the spiritual element in this one, all right, I'd love to hear that. 888-995-5552. Can we just dismiss, yeah, the drug dealers or the hookers for Jesus, right, or gangbanging for Jesus? Okay, right. Obviously, criminal activity ain't going to count. We're talking about legitimate businesses. 888-995-5552. I know, I just, a whole bunch of people are ready to call. It's like, no, we're not going to do that. Great. I didn't think it would turn into this, but ain't this fun? Okay, so here we go. I love this. Bill Heatley has been in corporate America for over 20 years. He's an IT techie guy, right? Aerospace, big oil, big pharma, you know, pharmacology kind of stuff, medicine. He is Dallas Willard's son-in-law. He married Dallas's daughter, Becky, years ago. And one of the things, of course, Dallas had a huge influence on him. And so Bill, over the years, ministry has been birthed somewhat unintentionally just by Bill talking with people. And it's all about learning and developing and understanding your theology of work in what you do for a living. Now, what's fun is I didn't intend this, but it's happened. And what a kick, right? So let's stump Bill. And the idea is, come up with what is your profession and how could that be considered a ministry?
Yeah, how is that part of the kingdom?
Right, and how does that
part of the kingdom?
Right, how does it work? And Bill, my lines are melting.
Yeah,
and,
well,
and
I got to tell you, I was asked to come in and speak. JAMA, which is a Jesus Awakening movement in America, you know, was doing their Global Leadership Development Institute, where they bring students from all around the world in for about 40 days to receive all kinds of training. And they have one focus week, which is on calling, and they asked me to come in and talk. And I knew that I'd gotten this message across when I was at lunch with a bunch of the students. And the one girl said, you know, I have a real passion to go into fashion design, but none of my Christian friends think that that's a very Christian pursuit.
Oh, boy.
And I went through with her, what is fashion? What is clothing? What does it do? What does it mean? How could it be used to bring about better community, better communication, to bridge the generation gap? How important was clothing as symbol, as image, as identification throughout the nation of Israel and the people of God, and
yeah,
how could you infuse that into fashion design today and make it more graceful, more elegant, more proper? And isn't it important to have good, thoughtful, intelligent Christians in the fashion design? And the guy next to her says, I want to go into mental health because I want people to have healthy minds.
Right.
And huge push against people going into the fields of psychology and psychiatry because of what's happened to it of late. And so we went over all of the great qualities that are necessary to be in mental health and how we need good Christians in those fields to bring about psyche. I mean,
right,
the root of that is soul,
right,
in the Greek, and how to bring about basically soul care and to redeem and restore that back into a normal church function through good Christians. And
amen.
Then the guy on the other side of her says, this one was great, I want to go into advertising.
All right, now stop. Because I want my listeners to try to stump you.
Go.
All right. Here we go. 888-995-5552. Do you work your job, all right? How can you get a theology of your work and let Bill Heatley help you? They've got a website set up for precisely this kind of thing. It's theologyofwork.org. All right, 888-995-5552. Let's go to Isabel. She was the first caller on this from Van Nuys. Isabel, what do you do? And your question for Bill Heatley.
Yes, I work as a reporting analyst.
Okay.
At a small nonprofit organization. and I work day-to-day with just data, Excel reports, and sometimes I feel, oh, I thought about going into ministry by going to Bible school, mm-hmm. but I feel stuck in my day-to-day job, so I'm very interested in knowing what he has to say about their spiritual side, you know, what I do every day.
Okay, so Isabel, you are working with spreadsheets, Excel spreadsheets. Did you say a recording analyst?
Reporting
analyst. Okay, all right. So, Bill, she's a reporting analyst. She's bored. She's on Excel spreadsheets all day. She doesn't realize how significant it can be. Why is it significant?
Well, let's take this layer by layer. So let's take the kingdom of God layer. And every time that you work, regardless as to what your job is, it's an opportunity for you to open up your actions in the duties of your job to work with God. That great verse in the Bible, 1 Corinthians 3:9, we are God's field, we are God's building, we are co-laborers with God. And we must, as disciples of Jesus Christ, always ensure that we are making space to work with God. And when we work with God, miracles often happen by the very act of our doing our job. So that's one layer. Next layer is your social layer. You have a community of people that you are working with. You're working for, and you are doing these jobs for them. And the analyzing function is to bring about truth. It is to bring about fact. It is to bring about reality so that people can make decision, and they can make the right decision that affects their lives. Analysts typically, in almost every single business, they participate in contributing factual information, truthful information, into the leadership so that the organization can be best guided. And good Christians need to be there, because if there is an area of our society that is under assault and attack, it is factual information. You take a look at all of the bank scandals, you take a look at Enron and WorldCom, every single major disaster has been a failure of the analysts to do truthful, factual work.
All right, so Bill, let me jump in. Okay, yeah. That's great. I'm just blown away that you're able to do that like off the top of your head. Isabel, what kind of reporting do you do? Is it for insurance, aerospace, medicine, court reporting? What kind of reporting?
I work for a nonprofit organization.
Right.
We help with money. We give money to preschools in the L.A. County
Okay,
area.
So imagine this. And, Bill, now I'm doing your job. Isabel, imagine if you did not do your job well, all of the people that would be harmed, and how inefficient and wasteful the organization would be. It's really important for you to do your job well. Bill?
Oh, absolutely. One of the things that analysts typically participate in is making sure that the company operates efficiently. Every single thing that you do, Isabel, that allows the company to be efficient is more money that is going to go to the core functions of that nonprofit.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Isabel, great. This is exactly what I'm talking about. Okay, so stump Bill Heatley with your job, right, and then how can it be spiritual? I love this.
God bless you.
No, this is great. 888-995-5552. Robert in Southgate has got a good one. Robert, lay it out. What do you do?
What do you got, Robert?
What I do is I work for your neighborhood-friendly police impound yard.
Oh, goodness. Okay. All right.
You know, and usually, you know, when we deal with people, it's because we took their car away for a certain reason. You know, usually no driver's license or under the influence or, you know, for many reasons. But usually they're not happy to see us.
Well, what's the function of law? What's the function of consequence? You know, I was at a meeting recently. We were talking about the absence of a shop class and how so much morality is taught through the process of shop class, and how much of our society no longer has an understanding of action and consequence. And however harsh it might seem, we must live in a world that is governed by laws, that has consequence. And when people are not living up to their promises, and you are predominantly working with people that are promise breakers, if we lived in a society where there was no consequence to that, we would be in anarchy. And so however difficult it is for them, you are participating in the legal process, which helps people to be civil, courteous, respectful, and promise keepers. And so in large part, you were helping them to be better participants in society. So again, all three layers you've got to look at. Are you doing your job in such a way that people can see Christ working with you?
Right.
Are you praying into the things that you do? Are you...
Well, wait, stay on that. That's a great question. Robert, has it ever crossed your mind to pray for the man or woman who owns that car that you're parking at the impound yard?
Not when I'm impounding the car. When I get the urge to pray, it's like when it's an accident.
Right.
I mean, I get the urge to pray, you know, that the Lord, you know, that they'd be okay. And if it's His will, that their turn to go up with Him, you know, to give peace to their family. And that's the time I pray.
So now you got a new element. Every single car that you park from now on, Robert, pray for the man or woman that owns that car or will be driving that car. Maybe it's the daughter. Maybe it's the son. Maybe it's a relative. Claim that space now for the Lord's kingdom, and that ministry would be done and the kingdom advance in that car and through that car. And see, this brings up a whole new perspective on everybody's vocation.
Yeah.
So I got to take a quick break. We're going to come back. We'll continue with Bill Heatley. This is Stump Bill with the spiritual aspect of my job kind of thing. And, of course, what's delicious about this is it forces you to think through, okay, maybe I have just sort of fallen into a rut in seeing my job as boring or unfulfilling or insignificant. What would the Lord say is important about my job? How, you know, it's like that old ditty. If you know how to do something, you'll always have a job, and you will always work for the person that knows why you do something. What's the why of your job? And maybe it's somewhat challenging, but why don't you create it and bring in a whole new spiritual element to it, like praying for the guy that owns the car at the impound yard, right? 888-995-5552. The website is theologyofwork.org. We'll continue with Bill Heatley, author of The Gift of Work, Spiritual Disciplines for the Workplace, here on the Frank Pastore Show at 99.5 KKLA. Now, see, if you don't do your job right, the whole listening experience is messed up. All right, welcome back to the Frank Pastore Show. And talking to Engineer Chan and Producer JJ. And, of course, pretty obvious on them assisting me, and I get the whole spiritual element of my opportunity. I get to talk about the most important things with the most important people. That's you. And change hearts and minds and talk about the gospel and talk about America. That's my two big themes. You know, one of the things that Bill Heatley has forced me to do just now is to think through, okay, what is my job and what's the spiritual element of my job? Well, the two big things, gospel and America. And there it is. I'm trying to, in one element, for conservatives, political conservatives, get them the gospel. And for Christians, get them the story of America and this great experiment of self-government. There's my two big things. And then, of course, it's got to be in an entertaining way or no one's listening. I want to welcome back my buddy Bill Heatley, and this is just so interesting. I'm loving how this is happening.
I think, you know, one of the most important parts is for us to take a look at it the way that you just have and to say, you know, God has created work. God has created my profession. God has created this industry. And how am I meeting needs, and how am I allowing the work that I do to be a blessing?
See, right.
That's a big, big word for work. Is what is the blessing that your job is intended to be by God's ordination?
Well, and Bill, a lot of people don't get that, which is why what you do is really important. Bill Heatley is the author of The Gift of Work. The website is theologyofwork.org, and it is sort of turned into Stump Bill, which means, okay, what is your gig? You know, what do you do for, quote, your job? And then how can Bill help you see it with through a spiritual lens? Back to calls, 888-995-5552. Let's go to Johnny in Playa del Rey. Johnny, welcome to the Frank Pastore Show. What do you do?
I work for a health and fitness company as a production assistant, so I pretty much manage all of the video testimonial assets of people that have done our program.
Okay, so you do a lot of the media stuff for one of the fitness places.
Yeah, I'm a production assistant, so I pretty much do anything that the coordinators gathering all these assets. I pretty much organize it for them.
All right. So do you really not know the significance, or are you sort of baiting us? Because it's pretty obvious what, I mean, the role that you play.
Yeah, I mean, from what I've seen is that they really never actually use a lot of what I put together and organize for them. So that's why I'm wondering, like, why am I doing everything I'm doing?
Okay.
All right. Well, the very first thing you need to make sure is, again, that spiritual part where all the work that you do, you are doing as unto the Lord. So Jesus is your boss straight out of the gate. Now, once you take that attitude, then what you find is you begin to do your work as you imagine Jesus would if he were you, which is the essence of discipleship. And that's going to have you reaching out to the people that are the consumers of the products that you're producing. And you learn how to pray for them, how to care for them, how to help them be successful. You take this servant's heart, which is what all Christians should be doing in the work that they are doing. You take this servant's heart and you find out, well, if you didn't use it, what was missing from it? You're humble enough to say, maybe I didn't do this as in a way that is the most helpful for you. But easily, as Frank was saying, it's easy to see that you're in the health industry.
Oh, yeah.
Helping people to remain healthy. And your participation in that is helping to promote people to lead good, healthy lives, to respect the bodies that God has given them. But the real question in your job is, are you humble enough to be able to go to your people and say, what is going to help you be successful?
Right.
That's one of the differences between Christians and those who do not follow Jesus. We have the strength. We have the ability to be humble to others because we're not trying to make the buck. We're working for Jesus. That's our boss.
Yeah, and Johnny, in the very secular sense, this is the phrase, you know, always make your boss look good. But
yeah,
put the spiritual element in it, and how can I help my boss win more, and how can I serve him as Jesus would, as unto the Lord, as though he were Jesus kind of thing. And then find out how to do a better job on your own. In what you're doing, you know what I mean? Here's a word of encouragement. I had Dave Berg on the show. Was it last week? He was here and we went to dinner. Dave Berg was Jay Leno's conservative producer for over 20 years. He would pitch 20 show ideas and show guests, and 1 in 20 would get through.
Yeah.
And that's a typical gig. That's just sort of what it is. So maybe you have to have a perspective on your job on, okay, what is sort of a realistic expectation? And if you're not at the mean or you're not at where you think you should be, then find out how to get better at it.
And also the stuff that you're producing right now, putting together right now, there is nothing to say that that is not going to be of value later on. You've got to take a longer, more eternal perspective on the work that you are doing and just invest yourself in it being the greatest blessing to the people that you're giving it to and to the people you're making it for.
Cool.
And pray God's blessing into it. Frank, there's this great story. I got to share it.
Okay, yeah.
It's about this guy who owns this company. He's a CEO, and here's what he said. I hire people no one else wants to hire. Schizophrenics drive forklifts next to those with Down syndrome, autism, and cerebral palsy. Recovering alcoholics, deaf employees, and homeless people cut floor runners alongside coworkers who have suffered strokes, severe head injuries, or loss of an arm. Everybody's cross-trained on every task in the plant. Now, here's what comes out of that. He said, we have practically no absenteeism, very little turnover. We have seen higher production, increased profits, better morale, greater respect from the community, and better customer relationships.
I love it. Who is this guy?
This is CEO David Morris for Habitat International Incorporated. You know what they make?
Huh.
They make those plastic grass welcome mats.
Yeah.
And also do like that AstroTurf covering for companies.
Yeah, okay, so Bill, I got to do another break, and we're going to come back and take more calls. But
yeah. You
got to hook me up with him. I'd love to have him on and let him tell that story. Quick break. It is Stump Bill Heatley here on the Frank Pastore Show. Your job, and then how to see it through a more realistic, quote, spiritual lens, because that's seeing the true reality of it. We'll do that as we continue straight ahead. Our phone number, 888-995-5552. We got a quality engineer. We got a machinist. We got a person working in a library. Got a lot of very cool things. I look forward to seeing what Bill is going to be sharing with us. Quick break. We'll continue straight ahead at 99.5 KKLA. All right, welcome back to the Frank Pastore Show. I'm just loving this. I hope, of course, the obvious big takeaway that I want everybody to get is, how do you view what you do for, quote, a living? There are so many Christians who have the idea, man, if I could only quit my job or retire one day so I can go into full-time ministry. And what I want to do with those people is, yeah, that's a great aspiration, but are you seeing your job now as a ministry? Are you doing it heartily as unto the Lord, like the Lord was your boss? Because he is. If you make something, if you serve somebody, if you are present around other people, do you see what you do as being a strategic, I don't know, role, responsibility in the advance of the kingdom? It could be almost the most menial, seemingly meaningless job, and it's not. Don't take the enemy's lie for this. See it the way that the Lord does, through his lens. Bill Heatley has been in corporate IT for the past 20 years. He and his wife, Becky, who is Dallas Willard's daughter, they got married 15 years ago. Their ministry is really doing exactly what we're doing, and that's helping people understand their vocation as their ministry. They've set up a website, theologyofwork.org, and Bill is also the author of The Gift of Work. Back to your phone calls, 888-995-5552. And let's go to Martin in West Covina. Martin, welcome to the Frank Pastore Show. And I understand you you work with big equipment. Is that it? You're a machinist?
Yes, I am.
Okay, what kind of stuff do you make?
Specifically now, for the last 3 years, I've been making carcass cutting tools for the meatpacking industry.
Okay, so there you go. So you make stuff that is used in the meatpacking industry. And Bill Heatley, how does what Martin does important in the advance of God's kingdom?
You know, my favorite story of all time is seeing my daughter at her kindergarten class. She had her lunch and she came out and she brought out her favorite sandwich, which is a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And it struck me that the night before we had been teaching her how to pray the Lord's Prayer, and there's that line where you pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." And God just gave me this vision that at the time that my daughter was praying to have the Lord give her daily bread, that there were bakers in the bakery baking it, and there were farmers in the fields reaping wheat and harvesting eggs and producing butter, and there were truck drivers delivering it, and there were stock boys stocking it, and there were machinists making all the equipment necessary to produce it, manufacture it, store it, sell it, and deal with it. And all of them, all the thousands of people that are involved in the food industry, doing their job diligently and well, answered the prayer of a five-year-old little girl for her peanut butter and jelly sandwich. See, you don't know, but God has created work so that all of us can participate in meeting all of those needs, in answering all of those prayers, in helping all of this stuff that we call society and culture and America and life work, so that whenever we pick up a tool, whenever we do our job, we are answering prayers and meeting needs and fulfilling the great commandment to love one another and fulfilling the great commission to allow people to see the goodness and glory and majesty of God in all of his creation and even in the creation of work.
Amen. Amen. So, Martin, how long have you done what you do?
I've done it for the last 30 years.
Okay, so could I go in and do what you do, or does it take a level of expertise?
It definitely takes a level of expertise.
Okay, well, there you
go. And
Martin, I'll bet you work with the same group of people, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you could have a great influence on them on not just what you do, but how you do what you do. And so, Martin, thanks for your call. Bill, my lines are melting. People are trying to stump you with, I work with an energy drink company. I work at a major studio. I work at a nonprofit with animals. I work at a public library. All of these have the same set of elements, and the bottom line is, begin to view what you do for a living through a different lens, which is Jesus' lens. And Bill, walk us through some of the basics on how to do that.
You know, I think one of the best ways to think about that is to take it as work as redemption. Work as redemption. You know, there is a city in India called Kolkata, It's a city of 10,000 prostitutes. These are women that are in the sex slave trade. And they've been brought into that life either because their parents were doing it, their mom did it, or out of poverty their families have had to sell them. There is a company that has gone there called Freeset. And if you go to their website, www.freesetglobal.com, you'll hear about their stories and you'll have opportunities to help them. What this company did, they landed right in the middle of that city. They live in the city, and they provide women with the opportunity to work. And they make handbags, and you can buy them on Amazon.com, or you can go to their website and buy it directly from them. These women are taught a trade. They're given a profession. They're given health care. They're given a decent wage, much more than anyone else would. And they are able to lift their heads up and live in pride. Many of them don't know Jesus, but they know the people that have saved them, that have redeemed their lives.
Mm.
And through them, they have come into knowledge of Christ and have given their lives. They're asked to remain living in the homes that they are living in, wherever they're living, so that they can spread the good news of work and what work can be in somebody's life. So when you think about work, when you think about all the things that it is, you have to remember that from God's perspective, work is a gift. Work is joy. It is prayer. It is fulfilling great commission, great commandment. It is redemption. And when Jesus says, even now my Father is working, it gives us this understanding that the image of God that we have in us is best expressed in work.
Right.
By creating something. And to have what we've created meet needs and be a blessing to those around us.
Okay, so let me come at you with, I think, the most challenging question.
Sure.
And this is the same thing that Upton Sinclair did in the jungle back in 1906, I think it was. And it was the whole advent of industrialization and being really bored on the assembly line, doing the same thing over and over and over and over again. So what about someone who has a job that truly, in and of itself, is like pretty boring? It's the same routine thing over and over and over again. How can they begin to view that differently, Bill?
I love Acts 19:11 and 12, where it talks about Paul and how it says God did extraordinary miracles through Paul, so that when the handkerchiefs and aprons, which were the tools of his tent-making craft, that had touched his skin were brought to the sick, their diseases left them, and the evil spirits came out of them. So imagine that, Frank, that the microphones in your studios, because of your relationship with God, could be so imbued with the holiness of God that he, God, could choose to bless people through them.
Mm.
That people supernaturally, by the hand of God, could be blessed through the work that you do. Imagine if we had that idea anytime we sent an email, anytime we manufactured whatever that boring thing is, quote, boring thing,
right,
that we are manufacturing, we asked God to enter into that thing we're creating and to have that thing be a means of extending his blessing into the world. I've done that with my emails. I have seen miraculous results.
Give me one.
I had another department that we were working with. It was a very hostile situation between IT and one of our customers. I had a very volatile email that came to me, kind of like a hate email, a throw-me-under-the-bus kind of email.
Yeah.
It's very easy to respond in anger. I responded in love. I prayed to Jesus that I would write a loving, compassionate email. I wrote that email, asked after I wrote it, when I sent it, for God's will to be done in the extension of that email. The guy that I sent it to had never called me before. He would refuse to speak to me in the hallway. He would barely speak to me in any meetings. He came into my office after that email, and it didn't say anything special. I mean, it was just a business email. But he came in, and he said, you know, we need to bury this hatchet.
Wow.
I looked at that, and I went, in my mind, I was going, thank you, God.
Yes.
There was nothing in the email about burying the hatchet.
Yeah, but you see, the big point is, you took the initiative to invite God in. He's not going to do it against your will, but you chose to work alongside and
right
with him.
Right.
And I think we all need to bring that element into whatever we do. And certainly if we're with other human beings, we can have a great influence on them directly. But maybe if you do make something or serve someone or you're on the phone or, like Bill, what you said, even doing an email, oh, my gosh, invite the kingdom in, invite the Lord in to be your co-partner and co-author with this stuff.
The co-laborer. Laborer.
That'll preach.
That'll
Bill,
preach.
I love it. The lines are still melting. Folks, listen, go to the website, theologyofwork.org, and Bill Heatley is his name. He is Dallas Willard's son-in-law. He and his wife, Becky, have been married for 15 years. Becky's Dallas's daughter. And just it's a great ministry. And it can re-energize what you do to begin to see it through a different lens, a more biblical lens, a godly lens, a Christ-like lens, to see all that you do as being a co-laborer with the Lord and heartily as unto the Lord. Bill, great stuff. The website, again, theologyofwork.org. Quick break. We'll continue straight ahead at the intersection of faith and reason at 99.5 KKLA.